power and piety, Spanish colonial art will be on display at the El Paso Museum of Art beginning Tuesday, February 8th. The show illuminates the overlap and tension between social power and religion in the Americas through nearly 60 extravagant works of religious art commissioned for cathedrals and homes. Here to tell us about this exhibit is Kevin Burns of the El Paso Museum of Art. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thanks for having me.
So really, it's two exhibits.
It is.
But we're leading with Power and Piety.
Yes.
Because it's the fanciest one. I have a feeling that everything about this show is fancy.
Yes,
and gilded.
Both are going to be, yes, lots of gilding, large works of art. I think, you know, opulence and richness and a sense of overwhelming, of being overwhelmed. So both exhibitions, like you said, Power and Piety, Spanish Colonial Art, will be on view this week. And it's complemented by another one called Saints and Sacred Stories, Devotional Objects from New Spain.
So Power and Piety is the traveling one.
Yes. So that one is on loan to us from the Patricia Phelps de Cisneros Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so thrilled to have that with us. It's, like you said, nearly 60 works of art, all so beautiful and stunning. If we think to the period, so Spanish colonialism, a time when, you know, Spain and other European nations are coming to the Americas, colonizing it. And one of the main tools they used to establish their rule was religion, was the Catholic Church.
Right.
And they filled their cathedrals with handcrafted silver candelabras and ivory sculptures and silver incense boats and enormous oil and canvas paintings. And the point was to overwhelm viewers and give them the sense that this is where power lies and this is where divinity is and this
sure.
is where your allegiance should lie.
Right. And you can see that. I mean, we were in Mexico, in Puebla, and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, go to that church. It's dripping in gold. Well, it turns out every church is dripping in gold.
Yes.
But it's because of that. I never mm-hmm. put that together. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it is a sense of this is where the power lies.
Exactly. And as you enter the exhibition, the very first section is about works commissioned for the church.
Mm-hmm.
So you really will get that sense immediately upon entering the galleries.
But then people commissioned such works for their homes as well?
Yes. So, of course, the Catholic Church was a really important client for artists practicing in the colonies because they would commission all sorts of work. But also families, both Spanish settlers and indigenous families, also commissioned works for their homes. So thinking private shrines, you know, in the most intimate recesses of homes, like bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So on view, you'll see really small, you know, less than a foot devotional paintings, which are similarly dripping in gold. So you get the same sense
right.
that they're, you know, meant to overwhelm and inspire piety within you, but they're meant for your home. And there's also sort of a middle ground between them. So we have the large ones for the church, the really small ones for the bedrooms, but there's also ones for reception rooms and homes. And what families would do is they would also commission extravagant tabernacles. So on view in the exhibition, we have one that's nearly 10 feet wide.
Wow.
These enormous folding wings. It has mirrors in it. It's gilded. It has red and blue paint. It immediately catches your eye. The mirrors were designed to reflect candlelight, so you could imagine it in a home.
Just gigantic.
Yes, gigantic and just giving off this, again, sense of power and piety. And those were meant to not only inspire piety for people in the home, but also to impress visitors.
Well, yeah. I'm impressed just hearing you
just
talk
hearing
about it.
But
in somebody's home, I mean, mm-hmm. was that both, I guess, their way of showing, hey, we are a devout Catholic family
mm-hmm.
and we've got the power?
Absolutely, yes. So it would show to others that they were, quote unquote, holy mm-hmm. and also would have social clout. You know, they had money to commission these works. It worked definitely in both ways, which is why you get that sense, that tension between social power and personal piety and where lines are blurred.
Right, because at some point you're supposed to help others, right?
Right, right.
maybe not focus on the gold and,
exactly.
and all of that.
So that tension is evident in the exhibition as well.
So we have the traveling exhibition, mm-hmm. but then there's the complimentary one where you just kind of got to dig in your closet.
Basically, yes. Yeah. So we're so excited to present also Saints and Sacred Stories. And like you say, that's all from the El Paso Museum of Art's permanent collection. So like you say, yes, we got to jump into art storage and select works from our collection of Mexican art. And it's just a really beautiful show that shows again to viewers highlights from this Mexican art collection.
Mm-hmm.
It includes many different devotional works. It includes bultos or hand-carved wooden sculptures. And one thing that's different about this exhibition than Power and Piety is that this one really focuses on the instructional nature of these works. So really, if we again think of the period, many people couldn't read. They were illiterate. So how the church taught many people is through images.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this consistent imagery in many paintings, and we've drawn that out in the exhibition to show how there's this great tradition and standard of these visual images.
Were they numbered as well? Or am I imagining that?
In what way?
In series, because I can visualize seeing the small panels and then them being numbered, but I don't know.
Yeah, you might be thinking of the Stations of the Cross. So
something like that, yes.
So yeah, in many churches, even in homes, you know, this series of sometimes paintings, sometimes, you know, relief sculptures that show Christ's journey to the crucifixion, and they are numbered. So it's, again, very clear, this follows this, follows this, and again, giving that sense of instruction along with the works.
Are retablos tied into this at all? I mean, I know we have a ton of religious works as part of our collection. I call it our collection.
It is. It's all of our collection.
but I know the retablos are huge, and I know that they were out there not too long ago.
Yes.
Are they showing up here as well?
Yes, so there will be a few retablos in Saints and Sacred Stories, but what we're also very excited about is shortly here in about a month, on March 8th, we're opening an exhibition called Joy and Suffering, EBMA's collection of Mexican retablos. And that'll be really a highlight and close look at our incredible collection of retablos. As you say, it's enormous. We have the second largest museum collection in the United States, so this will be a great opportunity to represent them. Many of them were gifted to the museum from El Paso families, so we're thinking of the Rodericks, the Hamiltons, the McKnights. And we're going to represent those in a gallery next month.
Is it true, and I might be making this up, that we're second to Las Cruces?
Yeah, so the NMSU, New Mexico State University, has the largest collection in the U.S. And so
they're all here.
They're all so close to us, and we're thrilled, too, to be partnering with a professor from NMSU, Dr. Elizabeth Sarrer, who's helping us collect research on the works and present them.
So we've been talking a lot about power and piety and all this gilded beauty, but I know you've got other stuff going on. Will you just give us a little overview of what's happening at the museum?
Sure. Currently on view, we also have Truly Speed, East of the Sun, West of the Moon, which we spoke about
pretty recently.
Cool.
Yes,
yes. This beautiful exhibition on our first floor of a contemporary artist practicing in Marfa. So I definitely encourage you all to come and see that. It's complemented by a 3-channel video installation designed by the artist. And these videos show interiors of her studio, her works in progress. So you really get a sense of how Julie Speed works. So that's on view.
It's kind of putting you in her studio is the way she explained it when
very
we talked
to her. You just feel like you're right there alongside her as you're, you know, surrounded by these screens that show these 8-foot images of her studio.
So amazing. Really do go see it. I mean, I know we talked to her, we talked about it, but do go see
the show. You got to see it, yes. Yeah. And then we still have on view our exhibition, Jacob Lawrence, The Haitian Revolution, and that presents works by one of the most renowned African-American artists of the 20th century. And we will be having a program in February, a lecture related to that exhibition by Dr. Leslie King Hammond, a renowned scholar on African-American art and the work of Jacob Lawrence.
Nice.
And that all is on our website at www.epma.art.
I love that your website is epma.art.
Right. It's easy to remember. It's different.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun. Yeah. I like it. Posada is on its way out.
Yes. So Posada closed January 20th.
Oh, that's it's gone.
It's already gone. It was such a beautiful exhibition. Had a good 3-month run, and we're sad to see it go, but so excited for Power and Piety to come in and so many other exhibitions upcoming.
And if you're thinking long term, what's in your brain, or if you could do anything, the boss is listening. What show do you want to do? Like, let's put that proposal out there.
Yeah. I'm really excited about, again, in the same way that we visited our permanent collection for Saints and Sacred Stories, I'm excited about visiting our permanent collection for future shows, you know, maybe looking closely at the prints and drawings in our collection. We have an incredible collection of prints. We actually just installed some in our Crest galleries. Just as you enter, a nice suite of about 5 or 6 prints that really introduce our whole European collection. So maybe something like that in the future.
Do you ever just go back there and get lost?
It's very easy to pull out these huge painting racks where all the works are hung on and you know, it's very easy to get lost in there.
And to find those patterns, right? Because, I mean, that's essentially what you do as a curator.
Right. You know, of course, you know, seeing these patterns and seeing how to represent them and contextualize the works. And what's fun about storage, too, is, you know, we have all different parts of our collection together. So, you like you're saying, you see, you know, your brain is making all these connections between different periods and times, and it's very exciting.
That's so cool. All right, so Power and Piety opens on the 8th, and I know that you'll have programming along with that as well.
Yes.
As it continues. Mm-hmm. Best thing to do is keep in touch on the website.
Absolutely. We'll have a tour plus lunch on March 8th. But there's more information on the website about other programming as well.
So there you have it. We have Power and Piety coming to the Museum of Art, along with a complimentary exhibit called Saints and Sacred Stories, Devotional Objects from New Spain. Today, my guest has been Kevin Burns from the El Paso Museum of Art. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thanks for having me.